Oh my God.
Anyway, go Pats. So we're recording, so let's get it on till we die. Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's Movie the Podcast. I don't know what we're calling this year, the chain reaction, whatever it is, but we are week two of movies related to movies to watch movies to. And and
taping who signed off on the proofs.
You mentioned those proofs one more time. Coming off of a real banger in Saving Private Ryan and a really stellar performance by Tom Sizemore, we've jumped. He's our link to this week's film. Nicolas Cage and Martin Scorsese's Bringing Out the Dead, a movie I was texting the group. I didn't know Martin Scorsese. I don't think I've ever seen another movie of Martin Scorsese's like this. Maybe he's done this more, and I just have. Like, when I think of this Martin Scorsese, I'm
trying Goodfellas. To think of an appropriate analogy that suits us. But this is Martin Scorsese's Careful with That Mic, Son.
Yeah, I was like,
is that reference track, by the way? The Clutch song.
Yes, I think it was. Okay. Yeah, that it worked for me. I don't know whether if it made it for everyone else.
Judges.
It's like, I think I said in the chat, it was, what did I say? It was like if Spike Lee made Brazil.
Yeah.
I think I also told TJ it was Abel Ferrara's version of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
I think I've been on Front Street. I feel like over the course of the 30 years we've been doing this show that I have said on more than one occasion, this is my favorite Martin Scorsese movie. We'll see if it holds up as that, but I do recall saying that multiple times.
Well, and you know, I still like if I'd seen this without knowing it's a Martin Scorsese movie, I would have never. If you'd said guess the director, I would have been like Terry Gilliam.
Yeah,
like somebody else, someone
Joe
else,
Carnahan.
Yeah, like this movie's got lunatic vibes. Like,
yeah,
it's not like the button down. It's not Wolf of Wall Street. It's not Goodfellas. It's not a Casino. Or he didn't do Dog Day Afternoon, did he?
No, that was Sidney Lumet. But that's, you could convince me that that's a Martin Scorsese movie faster than you can with this.
What's the movie that? What's the one he did with Harvey Keitel and Bobby
Mean
De Niro?
Streets?
Mean Streets, right? It's not.
Yeah,
it's none of those. Like his are like very. They're frenetic, but they're frenetic and like grounded in reality. It's a lot of quick cuts.
I'm sure we'll talk about it.
Yeah,
but there's like magical realism in this. It's silly. You know what I mean? Like not without
it's goofy.
Yeah.
And so. It's like it is ethereal in weird ways that I didn't think he had in his bag. But that's enough about a movie we're gonna talk about even more.
I was describing it to myself as a weird child of Quentin Tarantino and Oliver Stone.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah. It's got it's nuts. It also had
and the
like,
soundtrack had, is an absolute bop.
Soundtrack fucking slapped. What else did I say? I compared it to Jacob's Ladder. Like it's fucking bananas. I called it a jaunty Jacob's Ladder
movie brought to you by Visine.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're gonna get into it. We are sans TJ, which is rare for this show.
Yeah, this is a weird. This is a weird, like all guard lineup. I'm not used to this one.
It's like when the sidekicks get their own side adventure. It's a
rudderless. We're running the Wildcat.
We're coming out of the pistol. So what did everybody watch, Sean?
Oh, I watched a TV thing. I had mentioned it in the group because, like, I'm not like a sitcoms person really, but I started watching. Well, I watched the first episode of the second season of Severance. It's good, but it's also releasing once a week, which is like lame. It's like just put the whole fucking thing on there. Nobody is signing up for a streaming service. Nobody for one show,
right?
Like, nobody. Just put the whole thing on there.
Drip feeding you, you're gonna like just not cancel it after you binge it. Like what's
right?
The...
Like it's just like fucking. I'm not gonna cancel it anyway. Like who gives a shit? I mean, nobody cancels anything. I'm still paying for a satellite radio on a car I haven't had in 6 years because I don't know how to cancel it. Like, fuck it. But it was okay. I did start watching Shrinking with Jason Segel and Harrison Ford. And it's one of the...
What's that about?
Well, do you want to guess from the title?
I have three guesses. Okay. I have either it is shrinking about... It's either someone getting thinner by choice. It's either someone getting thinner by gypsy curse. Or it's about psychiatrists. I know that's thinner. It's thinner. I curse you thinner.
It is about psychiatrists. Or psychologists, actually, I think.
Well, are they prescribing medicines or not? Because
they are not.
Psychologists.
They are psychologists. Harrison Ford, it's crazy because we're so part-time. Alec mentioned it. We're so used to seeing like the Harrison Ford. Like, I don't understand Harrison Ford, right? He does not seem to want to do anything besides fly his planes and bang that skeleton he's married to. However, he's constantly doing shit, and I don't understand why. Like, why is he in the Star Wars movies? Why?
Money. Money.
That first one. Does he, money. I don't think he's, do you think he's still motivated by money at this point? You
no, know, it's probably bread? Not I think motivation. He's it's motivated by
that, that SAG insurance.
Mm.
Why well, he needs SAG insurance because he's got some jowls because he is 1,000 years old. But he's so fucking.
He may have squandered his nut, and he just
no chance. You think so?
I mean, why else would he do it? Like, I'm like, I tell you what, I know lots of people that are miserable that still work a job because they like food.
Maybe he's one of those freaks that like feels like he has to work. Like, if I won the lottery, I'd still work. One of those like psychopaths. Like, he just feels like he has to do shit because it's like Alec. You've seen the show, right? Like, at least the first season.
I've seen all of it. I love it.
Okay, I'm like partway through the second season. And he's so fucking good, but he is playing the Harrison Ford that we've grown to love where he just hates everything. He like really steers into it.
And but he's also just, like really funny. He's fucking hilarious in the show.
The show is out and out hysterical. Like
he's hilarious in a cast of like legit comedians. He's like absolutely laugh out loud hilarious in it.
He's the best part of the show, and the show is great. Like, there's I don't think there's a weak spot in it. I don't know the lady's name that plays the woman therapist, but she's fucking hysterical. The neighbor's funny as shit. She's married to Jefferson Darcy.
Good old Ted McGinley.
yeah
Oh, he's still out here working.
He's great in the show.
That scene with the neighbor lady where the Sean is taking out the trash.
Oh yeah, with the racist what the fuck is her name?
The racist neighbor, Pam.
Pam, yeah.
He's like, hey Pam, no, we don't like Pam. Eat a dick.
Pam's a racist. Oh, eat a dick, Pam. He just drives away. He's like so affable. Jason Segel's only 44, 45, and he looks like he's 200 years old. He's aging like very poorly. But there's a great like projectile vomit scene, which I appreciate. Like, not quite the how high level projectile vomiting, but it's not as far off as you'd expect for a serious endeavor. It's great. Everybody's super messy. Like, and that's why I love, we talk about, or we have talked about, It's Always Sunny a lot, how everybody's screaming over top of each other and it's just like super chaotic. And there's a couple episodes of The Bear that are also like super chaotic. And it's like, oh, this is realistic. Like, I feel like these are all real people.
Is it despite it being dark, or is it like
It's moments.
It's got dark moments to it. It's very realistic. Like,
yeah,
there's dark shit, and people joke about the dark shit to get through it to an extent.
Yeah, and everybody just constantly makes the worst decisions all the time.
But
most of the time they're meant like with good intent, but they're awful decisions.
Mm.
So.
How good for somebody that I'd never seen until Ted Lasso? How good is Brett Goldstein?
Oh, he's so good. He just popped up. He writes the show, I guess, too.
Yeah, him and Bill Lawrence, who is the Scrubs guy.
Okay, that makes sense because the janitor from Scrubs is on there sometimes. Yeah,
the two of them created it.
Yeah, it's weird to see Brett Goldstein. Gogs, have you seen Ted Lasso?
I've seen like 1.5 seasons of it. Yeah.
So Brett Goldstein plays this like really gruff, like for lack of a better term, Harrison Ford esque character on there, but here he's like super vulnerable and he doesn't have a beard.
Oh no, I love him as he's not Jamie Tartt, he's
Roy Kent. Roy Kent. He's just supposed to be Roy Keane.
Him without a beard is so jarring.
It makes him look like he's a different race.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He looks like almost like Arabic without the beard, which is an odd thing, but.
Well, I mean, Alec turned me on to that podcast of his that I really enjoy.
I'm not familiar with his podcast.
It's called Films to be Buried With, and he interviews. Okay. That's where I got all those questions I asked you guys about movies and shit.
Gotcha.
It's really done.
The show's a strong recommend. It's very easy to watch. It's like 35, 40 minutes an episode or whatever. You know, there's a good, it's good narrative. It's very well written. It's tight. You know what I mean? There's no like Lisa episodes. You know what I mean?
God damn.
Jason Segel is very talented. Like, that guy's really good. Very believable, and he's huge, which is makes his relative bigness is funny to me for some reason. Like, you don't expect guys that are like 6'5" to be funny.
Well, tee him up with Kevin Hart, I suppose.
Make it I very guess. Funny. But yeah, I mean, it's a big recommend for me. I really like the show a lot. But that's all I watched. Alec.
I only watched one movie. It's called I Like Movies. And it's a Canadian film about a kid who really likes movies, like to the point that he's just obsessed with movies. And he's borderline autistic about movies. He ends up, he gets a job at a video store because he loves movies so much. But it's like a corporate video store, and they're like, want him to like, they're like, you need to recommend, like, get like 20 people to rent Shrek or whatever. He's like, Shrek? Like, what about like, I don't know, Mean Streets?
Good movies.
Like, he's trying to recommend like art. And the manager of the store is just like, no, we need to push Shrek. I'm not doing it justice. Like, my voice is scratchy and I sound like shit. But it's really funny. And it's very much in the vein of a Taika Waititi kind of movie. Not as deftly dancing between comedy and drama as Taika, but it's still a very, very good and very fun movie. We watched it on an app called Canopy, which I think one of you guys had. It's like from the library. Like, you have a library card.
That's got to be TJ. That sounds like a TJ move.
It's a really good movie. It's pretty tight. Only an hour and a half. I enjoyed it a lot. And the kid, his dad killed himself early before the movie started. And like, anytime he gets in any kind of trouble or any kind of like anything, mischief, he's just like, oh, my dad killed himself. And he uses that as a way to get out of it, to the point people are just like, stop with the bullshit. We know your dad killed himself. It doesn't mean you can be a dick all the time.
I'm sorry. It made me think of just the Harrison Ford so funny in the show that we're talking about. Jason Segel's wife's dead, and Harrison Ford's dating. What is that? What was she in? Hot in Cleveland or Cougar? One of those shows.
He was
like
in,
an age appropriate woman.
She was in the show with David Spade.
Oh,
Just Shoot Me.
Nina Van Horn and Just Shoot Me.
She looks great, by the way, for being like a million years old. But she has a husband that's like got dementia in a home somewhere, and they're talking about it. And Jay Siegel's like, "What is her husband dead?" And Harrison Ford goes, "Not everybody's spouse is dead, Jimmy." Like, I could not stop fucking laughing.
I do love that show so much. That's all I watched. TJ,
I had a long week. I was watching the Commanders game, and I watched one thing. It was a French Japanese art punk horror movie musical.
I stayed up till 4 a.m. and then I fell asleep halfway through, and then I watched the rest of it and fell asleep again. Blah blah blah.
I thought it was terrible. I give it a 7.
My God. That's a really good impression.
Thank you. No. It was a collaborative effort.
Gods.
Sorry, I should have joined in. My phone just keeps blasting me with horrors beyond.
Yeah, don't look at your phone for a couple of years.
Yeah. So anyway, I watched 3 things. It was my, if you do something twice a year, is that biannual?
No. That's twice annually.
Semi-annual?
maybe semi-annual, biannuals every 2 years.
Ah, okay. Then I had my semi-annual viewing of Starship Troopers.
Hell yeah.
Still goes hard. I think I watched it because, specifically because there was like, the internet was abuzz that Sony Pictures is going to make a Helldiver 2 movie, live action movie. I'm like, that's unnecessary. We have Starship Troopers.
We have like four Starship Troopers, don't we?
Yeah, but we only have a good, we have a good one. Like,
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say Starship Troopers 3 Marauders, or no, what is it, Hero of the, whatever the third one is, Marauders, is not bad.
I don't think I've seen it. I've seen one, and I believe I've seen two.
Isn't one of them like CGI?
That's,
or are they all live action?
There's several CGI movies, I think, and like a hand-drawn animated TV show, I believe.
I'm confident those bugs weren't real in the first one. I'm just throw that one out there. Okay. Do you mean animated?
Beg your pardon?
Me? I mean like a fully CGI movie.
Like a Spirits Within.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah, and you are correct. There is one of those. It may be called Roughnecks, or that might be the TV show. I don't know.
Doesn't it still have Casper Van Dien in it?
Yeah, he's just not.
Yeah, what's he doing?
He did a shitload of those Asylum movies, those like fucking Transmorphers type shit. He's in a bunch of those.
Oh,
he's sitting there picking himself for not being James Marsden.
No shit. Yeah. Gogs, I gotta at some point send you this YouTube video. It's like a 3-hour essay about how Starship Troopers fails as a satire, and I don't know that I agree with all of it, but it's a very interesting take.
How Starship Troopers fails?
As a satire, yeah.
Well, it was written by an idiot, so that's fine. if someone thinks that movie fails as a satire, I don't... What works as a satire if that movie fails?
Does Airplane also fail as satire?
Right, like...
Yes.
Okay.
Too realistic.
Was it Armand White? Like, who wrote this thing? Like, this is like...
Is he still alive?
I hope so. You know, we need more Armand Whites.
No, we have enough Armand Whites.
Amen. I will say this about Casper Van Dien and Denise Richards and...
the redhead who plays Diz.
Diz, yeah. Her name escapes me.
She's so hot, though.
She's trying really hard.
Dina Meyer is her name, I think.
Dina Meyer.
She's acting.
She's also in a Johnny Mnemonic. She plays Molly Millions.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, Casper Van Dien and Denise Richards' inability to act makes that movie and the satire even better. Like,
so the question,
it elevates it in like a way that would it be impossible because they're trying to do it. Was unintentional gold for intention.
They do not know what movie they are in, correct? Like, they're not aware of the thrust of the movie. Richards? Anybody except for Michael Ironsides and Clancy Brown.
Ironsides gets it. Clancy Brown gets it.
Neil Patrick
Neil Patrick Harris definitely gets it. Rue McCallahan gets it.
That's so funny. I always forget she's in that fucking movie.
Those four people get it. Like, they understood the assignment, like, unwaveringly. So
was that NPH's first thing, like, out of Doogie?
It very well could have been. He was very young in that movie. Those four, without question, got it, and their performances reflect that. I think Dyer got it.
She's not a great actress.
She's not, but at the very end, when she's like, Dyer, she's like, at least I got to have you one time, which, like, she knows she's hamming it up. She is well aware of what's happening.
How shitty would a plastic fiddle sound?
It's the future, and I don't know what the atmosphere is on Klandathu, so who knows? It could have sounded fine.
I'm sure I brought this up the last time we talked about this movie, but this is more of an Alec question than anything. Does this also make you think of that Star Trek Next Generation movie where they had the green plastic symbols that fucking... Whichever one, Troy and Riker got married.
It's still like clang, like a real symbol.
Yeah, I fucking hate it.
I just...
Like, Picard has a flute from, like, you know, 13 dickety too, but they're over here with these like plastic symbols. Like, why? What the fuck?
I love that scene in Starship Trooper. Like, he opens up the box of like,
there's a noise or whatever.
There's a football. There's a fiddle. Like, there's a frisbee, maybe.
There's like there's a keg of beer.
Who is this for?
I want a keg of beer.
This came in the dropship with them. Like, their party favors came with them.
It's like the Ubisoft bonus club loot box that you get, you know what I mean, with the fucking DLC. Like, what is
the original? It was the original loot box. No one knew what was in there when they opened it. And lo and behold. Oh, and then if we get to Gary Busey's kid. He both under the assignment and willfully ignored it. Like, that's how you got his performance.
Jake Busey not aware he's in a movie, period, let alone
they just let him water around on set. I would argue that the catcher from Major League 3 knew what was going on in that movie. But yeah, that works. Send me the article where this guy doesn't think it works as a satire, and then send me his home address, and I'll mail him a package.
Okay, I will dox him.
So, next up, I watched another movie that is still satirical, but not as satirical. I watched Carl Urban's Dread again.
Hell yeah, that was fucking rules. That movie
fucking goes so goddamn hard.
I'm like, hell yeah, fascism is awesome. Like, I've never watched that movie.
It's like so good. He is so good in it. Like, he is Carl Urban's career is just
littered with bangers.
Even if it's not a good movie, it's not a bad Carl Urban performance.
Yeah.
The man doesn't know how to do a bad job. He is great. That movie should have made 10 times the money it made. We should have been on the fourth one by now.
It should have won an Academy Award for best movie ever made, honestly.
It's so fucking, it's so goddamn good. And like the original
Mama's not Mama the law. Plan.
Yeah.
I'm got it.
Yeah.
The fucking minigun scene where they're like just lighting up whoever came up with that, the fucking, you know, the, what do they call the blocks in the mega city? I forget the Peachtree block, that fucking super high rise, whoever came up with that set design deserves a raise. I'm sure it came from the comics or whatever, but it is perfect.
Just the shots of like looking up at the tracer runs flying across from like one landing to the other. And just, oh my God, like, so good. It's Wood Harris, I believe. He's great in it.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's great in it. It's a fucking ton of fun. Carl Urban is just best. Those are two of the three things I watched. The third thing is new to me, and I wish it wasn't. I watched a movie called Last Straw on Shudder, and it's not good.
It's your last straw with Shudder?
It's not, because I will continue to watch Shudder movies because I just like panning for gold and all I get is turds. Something also happened with their interface. It sucks lately. I don't know what the problem is. Yes, Alec?
You said you were, it was, wait a minute. Something you said a minute ago. You said it's the last straw, but I wish it wasn't. So you wish it was the first. You had seen it before.
I said it was new to me, but I wish
he hadn't seen it is what he meant. Oh, but I understand why it was confusing. It made it sound like, I wish I had seen this movie 30 years ago. It's Gremlins 2, something. No. You know what I mean?
Sorry. Let me make this crystal clear.
I do not care for hunky boys.
Or do I?
This movie's not good. It's about this chick who works at a diner in this one horse town, and then she gets assaulted by youths in the night, and then mid youth assault, like when the shit's going down, like it flips back to earlier in the day where like it sets it up to make you think that this one group of moped masked youths were the youths that are attacking the diner. But then you find out later it was her disgruntled employees who have dispatched of said youths, spoiler alert for Last Straw, and now are assaulting the diner, and one of which is someone with Down syndrome. It is.
So if I'm understanding right,
go ahead.
These youths were harassing her. Her employees hate her, so they took out the youths that were harassing her so they could harass her themselves?
Sort of by accident. So here's what happens. These youths show up and harass her in her diner, which her father owns, and her mom is dead, and her father's out trying to get some of that strange, so he has left her in charge of the diner while he is on a sexual gallivantry.
Walkabout.
So then these four little hillbilly psychopaths show up with like a dead possum, and they're wearing creepy Christmas or Halloween masks.
Creepy Christmas masks.
And then she's like, get the fuck out of here. And then she's addressing her staff, and she's just, I can tell she's a terrible manager. Oh, she also, the movie opens with her pissing in the field because she might be pregnant, but she doesn't know who the dad is. That's an aside. In a field on her way to work before her car breaks down, and then she hitches a ride on the back of someone's bike who's another employee. Anyway, so now the one guy that she's supposed to work the late shift with, his name is Jake. Jake works the grill. His brother is a dishwasher there. His brother has Down syndrome. Jake did not help her out in the confrontation with the youths when those get kicked out. So she fires him. That sets off a turn of events where he goes, he needs his diner health insurance money to get his medicines, but instead he goes and smokes crack with his brother with Down syndrome, and then they find the group of youths in the field, and they kill all the youths, but then they take dopeds and masks, and then find the other diner employees and convince them that we're going to go scare the manager. And by scare the manager, they murder the sheriff of the town with a meat hammer, and then a bunch of people get stabbed. It's not good. It's just not good. It's all over the place. It is incoherent. I don't know what as the movie ended, I don't know what I was to take from it. So be warned, dear viewer, do not watch Last Straw on Shudder. It stars no one, and it shouldn't star anyone. I also, just as a plug, I started playing that Bethesda Indiana Jones game, and just like speaking about Harrison Ford earlier, Troy Baker, who's a video game, voice guy on like, tons of video games, his Indiana, I don't know. I was trying to explain this to TJ. Like, he's not doing a Harrison Ford, but he is doing an Indiana Jones, and it's like kind of perfect.
It's good. I was telling TJ, like, I downloaded that game and I appreciate the craft, but I was just like, maybe I don't like AAA games very much. And then 10 minutes later, I downloaded Cyberpunk and I haven't done shit since. So I don't know what it is about that game that just didn't grab me.
How far did you get into it before you gave up?
Not very. I was at the Vatican dicking around. I'm like, I'm bored. Like, I don't really care about what's going on.
Oh, see, that like got its hooks in me. I was like,
oh, okay.
I like this reminded me of that Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay. Like,
I think it's the same people made it.
Is it true? Starbreeze.
That's the case.
Is it? Oh, well then.
I believe so.
Because like, I very rarely do get a first-person adventure game where like the combat is secondary and it's more like, I don't know. It's refreshing. It's something different where I can't shoot my way out of all my problems.
I think maybe the Crystal Skull did for me what Terminator, whichever one you freaked out about. I guess it was Salvation did for you, where it's like, I don't even give a shit about Indiana Jones anymore. I don't care.
Yeah, that's fair.
Was it Salvation where you just like were like, I'm done. I'm done with all of this retroactively.
Yeah, no, I thought Salvation was the one you did that at. Wasn't Gog's Genesis?
Whichever one the guy turned to sand. Whichever one's the sand one.
That's
the
Genesis. One
with Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Maybe the guy.
Yeah. Or is it Matt Smith?
He's the doctor.
Jason. Not Jason Isaacs. What the fuck is that guy's
name? No, but Sean Connor is Jason somebody, right?
Yeah, he's, what the fuck is that guy's name?
But he's not Joel Everyman. He looks like him, right?
Fuck, what is his name?
He was... Yeah, that's the one. He's fucking...
The one that had Daenerys Targaryen.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Genesis.
Yeah, that movie sucked. That's the one that did it.
Yeah, with what the fuck is that guy's name? Not Sam Worthington. He sucks too. Yeah. He's in the other one.
Was it Dark Fate? Which one did it for me?
Dark Fate's the newest one with the that has Arnold in it again. With the
new Lady Terminator one. That movie also sucks, but
not as bad as Salvation or Genesis.
Well, nothing sucks as bad as Salvation.
Jason Clarke, his name.
You got it.
Oh yeah, he does suck.
Yeah,
Jai Courtney, Captain Boomerang, is the other guy that I was thinking of.
Terminator.
So, anyway, Terminators all suck except for the first one. So, moving on. Let's talk about. I guess I have to talk about it.
I did watch one show I forgot to talk about.
Oh, please,
Penguin. Penguin's really good.
I gotta check that out.
I need to watch it.
I still gotta watch the Creature Commandos too.
Nate said Penguin kind of.
You know what? Hang on. Before you say that, nobody gives a shit what Nate thinks because we offered him to be on the show and he's too busy talking about the invention of the flashbulb or whatever it is that he does in his spare time. Pass on, Nate.
He who we will not name said that it falls apart towards the end of it, but I thought it was pretty good all the way through.
Yeah.
And Colin Farrell does a really good job of making you absolutely fucking hate him.
He's one of those guys, man, that it's like he was cursed by being so handsome, but he's just a character actor. Like a very good character actor. You know what I mean?
Incredibly good character actor, yes.
Like he is William Fichtner. He just happens to look like Colin Farrell.
Lucky he has.
Handsome Fichtner. Oh, Fichtner's a good looking man. I heard some, I don't know if it's more internet gobbledygook.
Please tell me you did not hear some woman one, know who William Fichtner even is, and then two, was like, I want to suck his dick.
I want to suck William Dickner. No, I got a...
You know that guy who was the bag manager in The Dark Knight? I want to fuck him.
I'm super wet for that one guy from Deep Impact.
Have you guys ever seen Ultraviolet?
Was he Armageddon? I thought he was Deep Impact.
He's in Armageddon. Deep Impact is Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Oh, fuck, I had something. It's gone now. Oh, here it is. I saw something that said, you know that mountain of a human being that plays like Jack Reacher on the TV show?
Yes, I love that guy.
There was something saying that they think that he's in the running to be James Gunn's Batman.
Good lord.
He's big. He needs to be Bane.
That is a big boy.
He can be that. Batman. What is it? Absolute Batman, that new one where he's just like some kind of steroid freak.
He would be a good like The Dark Knight where he's like a brick shit house.
The slab of
well, apparently God he got damn. all the fucking conservative weirdos mad because he's like, I love Jesus and gay people, and they're like, boo. He's like, I'll kill all of you with my bare hands. They're like, okay.
He like, he's a hardcore like conservative Christian, but he supports gay rights, abortion. Like,
yeah,
he's one of the cool ones.
Yeah.
And
also, even if he wasn't, it's not my place to say anything because he would just beat the fuck out of me.
Oh, whatever you say, Jack Reacher.
No, you got it, Matt.
Fucking bonsai rules. That guy is so fucking big. Reacher, the third season of that's getting ready to come out. I'm very excited.
Yeah,
that's all I'm proud of. You guys should watch it. I think you guys would get a kick. It's not like great, but it's fun just seeing this brick shit house just like destroy people.
Is he supposed to be like a secret agent? Because like I feel like he's too big. I'm like, oh, it's that fucking
no. He was like a former Army Ranger, and now he's just kind of like almost like a
like an A team.
Like no, he's like on his own. Like I'm trying. It's
a mercenary,
like kung fu. Like he just kind of
he should goes be around doing, like that's his build.
Solving crimes. Yep, he should. Have you ever seen? There's an old show. I never watched, but it's called Blue Mountain State.
Yeah, the fucking college
Mark football show. Loved that show. Yeah,
he is in that. He's like the main character, and he's like skinny, but still tall. It's so jarring to see him now be like a gigantic monster of a human
because he achieved twink death.
Did he have like did he have like frosted tips in that show? Was he like really? Yeah. Okay. No. Okay. That's him.
Yes.
That's wild.
Same guy, and now he's just like a monster, a literal. Yeah. Monster.
And he's like, I am on TRT. Like, he just flat out says it. Like, yeah, I'm on steroids because no shit.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Dogs? So, bringing out the dead?
What happened bringing out the dead?
Well, the dead get brought out of buildings.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's not just a clever title.
Nope. They nailed it. It is... so the movie, I think, takes place over the course of like 72 hours or something, maybe less. And you're introduced to Nicolas Cage's character. I think his name's Frank. And he is out here running around, in an ambulance with John Goodman. And, They're responding to
important
calls.
Note. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. This is pre rapid weight loss and then weight gain and then weight loss. John Goodman, so he doesn't look like a ambulatory bag of skin. He looks like John Goodman.
Yeah, he looks like what's his name? Connor.
Dan Connor.
Dan Connor. So they go to it's a cardiac call. They get up to this apartment. And they find a man basically dead on a bed, and the whole family's freaking out, including one of the Arquettes, one of the Patricia. Lady Arquettes.
Patricia
Arquette. The hottest David. Arquette, like, by far.
I don't know, Roseanne?
Rosanna.
You guys are out of your fucking mind. I expect this from God, like, but Alec, I thought better of you.
The whole nine yards?
Rosanna Arquette. All day.
No. All day. Patricia.
Patricia's hot. Rosanna's
we're
hot.
Talking about true romance, Patricia Arquette. Like, are you fucking serious, Gogs?
Yes. We're talking Pulp Fiction, Rosanna Arquette. We are talking.
Oh, you're crazy.
I'm allowed to be in this day and age.
You know what? I'm going to put this out there. Give me Alexis Arquette over Rosanna Arquette. And I know she's dead.
I don't even know what an Alexis Arquette is.
That's their sister that was their brother at one point, and now she has passed away.
I did not know they came in that, so there we are. Yep.
limited, very limited edition Arquette.
Yeah, it's a limited edition variant hologram cover. So anyway, so Patricia's in there. She's like, oh my God, save my dad. And they're like, okay, put on Sinatra. And okay. That kind of... Huh?
Nothing. I was making fun of the way you said okay.
Fair enough. They put on Frank Sinatra, and they get a heartbeat, and then John Goodman's like, well, fuck, now I guess we got to save him for real. So then they take his ass back to St. God's Hospital of Mercy, and Tony Soprano's sister's like, fucking no. And they're like, but we have to. And they're like, fine, put him in the x-ray booth. And then there's another crazy guy who's hopped up on, I don't know what, potassium. He has a lust for water that is... I am unquenchable, and it's played by Mark Anthony, I believe.
Yeah, the singer.
Maybe I had no idea this guy could act, but he's very good in this movie.
J-Lo's ex-husband?
Yeah, better actor than J-Lo.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
So, and then there's and I forget his names. He Ricky Henderson's, he refers to himself in the third person, but he's the police officer who has to, like, oversee the emergency room. And he just
Gris is my favorite side character in movie history.
He is tremendous.
Gris cannot abide the funk tonight.
It is him, and it's the shift leader who promises to fire Nick Cage tomorrow.
But I'm gonna fire you tomorrow.
So anyway, they get this guy deposited there, his family, they're trying to figure out what's what. They can go back out into the truck and do whatever they got to do. John Goodman wants to get like
Chinese food,
but he realizes he can't have that 2 days in a row. So now he wants to get chicken. I forget what he's calling.
He wants half a fried chicken.
That's it.
And something. But John Goodman's carriage would lead you to believe he has had the same meal several times in a row. Like, I don't believe his standards.
Not a lot of variety. Yeah. I mean, if there is variety, it's a tight rotation. Nick Cage is burning out. He is just living on cigarettes, whiskey, and coffee. At some point, they have to deal with
out of his drunk. Mind the entire movie.
Yeah, but like it's a weirdly like reserved Nick Cage out of his mind. It's like an introspective.
Yeah, the whole movie feels like it's like that. I mean, Alec, you've probably been with this, Gogs. I know your work history is like kind of different. But where you've just been in a rush forever, like at a restaurant or a store or something, and you're half asleep, half awake on the couch, and you're like thinking you're at work, but you're asleep. Like, that's what it feels like.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not doing the thing from fucking Face Off. He's not Ghost Ridering it. He's like barely coping and holding it together. And he's starting to see visions of a young homeless woman that died under his care who haunts him for the duration of this film.
And it is horrifying. I don't know. The way they composite her gigantic face is very unsettling.
She's pulling a Jacob Marley. He's just seeing her everywhere on door knockers, on his cup of broth. So anyway, they have to deal with some old smelly drunk. No one's happy about that. And then they end up at a shooting where Omar is there.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah. R.I.P. for reals.
R.I.P. for real, for real. And then you're also exposed to this like other plot element of he doesn't make it. They get him to the hospital, but he dies. Yeah. But he's been part of. There's basically Nuke is invented is in town.
It's some kind of super heroin. Death. Yeah.
Yeah. Like heroin cut with lithium ion or some shit. Like it is.
Yeah, it's like heroin in Four Loko.
Yeah. It's super heroin plus. And it's not, as we find out later from the incomparable Cliff Curtis, it's just here for a quick cash grab, because why would you want to kill your customers? And there's two Wire alums in this movie, because Omar's in it, and he dies. And then later, Kima Griggs shows up. And she dies. So they've had enough of their first day on the job. It's been a real fuck.
Nate coming in big.
Wait, is Nate showing up?
No, but he just sent a text that Sean we mad at.
There we go. Well done, Nate. And I think TJ might be on a date with Susanna Arquette. So we might get this might be piled on right now. So the next day, and this, well, I thought this was going to be my favorite part of the movie until the end of the movie. He gets paired up with Ving Rhames.
Pause. Dogs, is this the best Ving Rhames performance in a movie? Because you can talk me into it.
I am hard pressed. Like, it's this or Marcellus Wallace. Like,
yeah.
Those are, and Ving Rhames is a good actor. I like him.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's in. Like, I've always enjoyed his performance. But, like, what you get out of him in this movie is, first of all, he has hair. What?
That was very jarring to me.
He's got a Jerry curl. Like,
it's like a James Brown, like, early 80s haircut. It's very hard to describe, but yeah. It is full and it is long.
And it is, and he is just, like, he is this weird combination of just, like, devil may care, but also God cares more. Like, he's like big tent preacher, but like also kind of a pimp. Like, it
maybe
is
maybe the biggest, like, forearms in a movie I've seen in 20 years. He looks enormous in that fucking truck.
and he is just eating the scenery. Like,
he's so good.
He's so good in this movie.
The scene so where he's telling him the story about the kid that jumped and Jesus pushed him back up, and Nicolas Cage is like, oh, there's something that happened in Ireland, and then the wind pushed her back. It was wind shit. That was Jesus, son. Like, that has lived rent free in my head. Quick little anecdote about the first time I saw this movie. You guys remember Hollywood Video, correct?
Yeah.
So if you're too young to remember, they used to have stores where you rented videos, and they would have drop boxes outside. So it was like Memorial Day or something. I had some other movie, and I went to drop it and bring out the dead. The VHS was stuck. Like, somebody had driven up to it and just put it in the box, but didn't push it down. So I stole it. And that guy's probably pissed, 'cause it probably cost him thousands of dollars. But that's how I watched this movie for the first time. I never would have seen it.
Oh, that probably cost whoever didn't successfully return it $600 because that's how much.
Probably can't buy a house now because of me, but honestly, also because of him a little bit.
Well, when Movies to Go in my hometown accused me of not returning Spike Lee's Girl 6, they told me it was going to cost $660.
Did you rent Girl 6? That's like first Spike Lee movie. Why?
It was.
Because he thought it was going to be pornographic.
No, you think it was Leonard Part 6?
I thought it was going to be good. It was nothing. It was bad.
That's a completionist run. That's like the last Riddler trophy. I don't know why you would do that, but I appreciate knowing that about you.
Could have got bamboozled.
Yeah, bamboozle rules.
Well, they were trying to bamboozle me. My dad, you know. Yeah, he got on the phone and told him, the fuck, we're paying $600 for that.
It's like, look, I am a rocket scientist and a lawyer somehow, so we're going to go ahead and squash this.
Yeah, anyway, so he's rolling around with Ving Rhames, and they do some wild shit. Like, they save this dude who's ODing on Red Death, and he turns it in, like, a ministry. Like, he's, like, whispers, it's like, he's, like, give him the Narcan. He makes a prayer circle.
Yeah, it's like a revival.
Yeah, and it's brilliant, and he convinces all, he made all these junkies believe in Jesus, because they brought his boy back from the dead.
What's his name?
They keep checking in. Meanwhile, this guy.
Did you mention his name? I'm sorry. I dropped out for a second.
I be banging is the name.
What's his real name? Gregory. All right, Greg. Gregory. All right. I be banging.
after they bring back I be banging. Meanwhile, they keep checking in on this guy who refuses to die back at the hospital. And I think at this point, Nick Cage's character thinks he is hearing the telepathic cries for "Let me die" from the father.
Which also, in the structure of this movie, that may actually be happening. I can't 100% write it off that it's not. Like, correct. I don't think it is, but like, there's shit in the movie that leads you to believe that maybe it isn't.
Yeah. And so he goes and checks in on, he's trying to check in on that thang, but he ends up just checking on Patricia Arquette, and it's like, hey, your dad's still alive. Let me know if you want to bang sometime. Then they go and see a miracle birth between, a woman and her man who has never lain together in that way. And yet she gives birth to twins, one of which makes it immaculately, and the other one does not. And of course, Ving Rhames gets the living baby, and then poor Nick Cage. This is a tough scene. Gets saddled with trying to resuscitate a newborn, and it's a fucking nightmare. But you can just see all this just piling on Nick Cage. His bosses won't fire him. I guess he can't quit because it's much better to get fired.
I don't want to get too maudlin, but I have seen a lot of fucked up babies over the last year or so, and it is not easy. Like, at all. So, I get it. Also, but that foil blanket makes them look like they've got a really gross baked potato or a meatloaf of some sort. So that kind of takes the edge off a little bit.
Damn it, Sean. Not everybody's baby's fucked up.
No, just the ones I deal with.
And not everyone's
regular babies. Yeah. Ketchup meatloaf is the worst, by the way. Give me brown meatloaf all day.
Meatloaf? Oh, barbecue meatloaf.
Ketchup meatloaf is the best.
Oh, ew. Ketchup meatloaf is the Rosanna Arquette of meatloaf.
Are we talking about ketchup meatloaf as ketchup as a glaze? Is that what we're?
Yeah.
Oh no, barbecue.
You make it out of ketchup. No, brown gravy.
Brown.
I mean, brown gravy.
What is that noise in the background?
It's my fucking Madden game, and I can't.
Okay.
And like, they have this feature where like you hear the quarterback sounds through your controller, and I can't figure out how to turn it off. It's so fucking annoying.
Alec, have you played College Football 25 yet?
I'm not.
Oh, get that! It's so much better than the Madden. You'll thank me. If you don't like it, Alec, I'll give you the $60 or whatever it is. I'm telling you.
That's a money back guarantee.
Yeah.
And I think I get 30 of that just from witnessing the contract. So now,
deal.
Sure.
So after they have this moment, then him and Ving Rhames decide to go out car drive drinking because they nothing beats the rush of saving a life. So old boy's drinking gin and juice, the two of them, and then I guess they're on the way to another call, and Ving Rhames guns it, and then just eyes the ambulance.
Speaking of hard driving, I think he said hard driving. It's like the video game Hard Driving. Like they went partway up the loop and just flipped over.
And they just like all good drunk drivers, they just spring up.
Shrug it off. Any, yeah.
Nothing happened to them.
No worries.
On the next. So then Frank, the next morning.
Real quick, in case we forget, there's two different dispatcher voices. One is Queen Latifah, I'm pretty sure.
Hell yeah. Yes.
And the other one is definitely Martin Scorsese.
I saw that in the cast billing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There's one that Ving Rhames is, he's not flirting with Martin Scorsese. He's flirting with Queen Latifah every chance he gets.
Good on him.
So then we end up, he sees Patricia Arquette and she's like, you know, I forget where it all comes out of the wash. She's like, you know, I haven't talked to my father in 3 years. You know, I was a junkie. I had all this stuff going on. I separated, blah, blah, blah. Now all this is back. She's telling all this to Cage. Then Nick Cage follows her to where she says a friend's house, and it's a drug den led by Cliff Collins or Cliff Curtis. Excuse me.
Shout out ethnically ambiguous Cliff Curtis. Also the first movie I ever saw him in.
Yeah, he is like his racial tofu. Whatever you put him next to, he becomes that. So I think it's Sonia John, but I'm going to botch it. So I'm just going to say Kima Griggs from The Wire run this, you know, drug den flop house. And Cliff Curtis is almost doing a Drexel, like a less threatening Drexel from True Romance. He's just kind of like a drug shaman. And he's like, you know, she's just here to like blow off him and do pills. I don't sell that Red Death. And you find out the Red Death thing is like, you know, what Hopper's doing right now. So she's passed out in the back room. He convinces Nick Cage.
I keep wanting to call him Smiley, but that's from Training Day.
Right. I thought his name in the movie is Cy Coates, but I thought his name was Psycho. I was like, that shit's wild. Anyway, so Frank's like, yo, I'll take some pills. What else do I got to do today? And then he goes on like a spiritual journey and like is like pulling ghosts of, I guess, everyone that's ever died under his care out of the ground. Is that in this part? That's this part of the film, correct?
Like
He goes on a spirit walk. And then he snaps out of it. He's like, and he's like, all right, I got to go get Patricia Arquette out of here. And he sack of potatoes her out of this place. And then they end up back, I think, back at her place. And I think he passes out there. She lets him sleep it off. So now back at the hospital again, the dying dad is like, with his like psychological, you know, his psychomantis link is telling fucking Frank to let him die, but they keep resuscitating him.
At one point, they say he's been resuscitated like 17 times.
Yeah, he said like 18 code blues or something like that. So then
there's I don't remember if it happens here because he links up with Tom Sizemore a little bit earlier in the movie, but you know, this is kind of told in chapters. It's like the Goodman chapter, the Rhames chapter, and the Sizemore chapter, as I remember it.
That's
they pick up this guy that's going to kill himself, and it's like, is this where he has Noel in the ambulance with him too?
So Noel,
did we get to that part?
That happened earlier. No, so okay. Noel got picked up. Noel got picked up when he was with Goodman, and then Sizemore sees him. He's like, "Oh, I hate that guy. I'll beat the shit out of him."
But like, he's like, he wants Nicolas Cage to kill him in the same way that Nicolas Cage wants to be fired. And the other guy, he's like, "You're not going to die. No, you are going to die. Like, you know, you hold this, and I swear to God, if he doesn't live, I won't kill you." It's just, it's so fucking funny.
Oh, is that the scene with Omar?
Yeah. Omar actually
does die.
Right, because there's a scene later. I'm sorry, with Sizemore, you're probably getting to with a guy that's going to commit suicide.
Well, he meets Sizemore earlier because Sizemore's his old burnout or his old partner who's dealing with this in a different way, and he is just like gung ho about like he's like a thrill seeker. So now his
Tom Sizemore.
Yeah, his last shift is with Sizemore.
Beating up Amy Fleischer. What was her name? The Hollywood Madam that he beat the shit out of.
Amy Fisher.
Fisher.
Amy Fisher.
Heidi Fleiss. Amy Fisher. Heidi Fleiss. Amy Fisher, Joey Buttafuoco, Heidi Fleiss, Madam.
Buttafuoco. Okay. Yeah, there it is. So then they end up taking a call at the Cliff Curtis's drug den where people have been shot to pieces.
Gogs, did this remind you of fucking the scene at the end of Strange Days where Tom Sizemore's already in the apartment, like getting ready to kill what's her face?
It did. And it also reminded me of the end of Tokyo Godfather, because you end up with people just hanging off the side of the building. Because apparently, to run away from these young hoppers that shot the place up, Cliff launched himself off a balcony and landed on a wrought iron fence, like at the penthouse of this building, and impaled. And so they have to like cut him loose and like everyone strapped in and almost fall off the building.
Dogs, you're an engineer. Can you just like by hand ram a hook into the grout of a brick and suspend yourself from it?
I'm sure you can. Yeah, grout's the part that's like sacrificial, and like grout is, it'd be like a piton that they do for mountain climbing. I'm sure it's just like a quick like I'm sure it exists solely for that purpose. And that did not. That's not the part of this movie I took issue with. So they save Cliff Curtis.
He's totally conscious, and they're having this like very elaborate conversation as he's hanging, and everybody's like, "Jump!"
Yeah. Because
there are like an order of like Asian nuns on the ground chanting.
Oh yeah, that's.
This is a throwback to like 70s New York, though. You know what I mean? New York, as portrayed in this movie, I don't think existed at the time that the movie was made. If that makes sense,
it's an Abel Ferrara New York.
Yeah,
it's dirty New York. So they save Cliff Curtis because he's not trying to commit suicide. He is pinned to this thing. They save his ass. And then. I forget, at some point, Mark Anthony ends up getting, like, the shit kicked out of him by Tom Sizemore.
Yeah, because he's breaking car windows out. And Tom Sizemore has this plan to, like, beat him to death because he's sick of him. And then Nicolas Cage saves him.
Right.
But Tom Sizemore has this, like, Looney Tunes plan.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you distract him. I'm going to get on my hands and knees behind him. Then you push him over me.
They'll push him
and then we'll beat it. Then I'll beat him to death.
Well, Nicolas Cage, I guess, has restored some of his sanity because he's finally slept. Because I think nobody in this movie has slept in weeks. Like, I think that's what you're meant to take, is that like nobody sleeps, so everybody's just out of their fucking mind. Yeah.
So Mark ends up getting beaten pretty bad, but then they take him to the hospital, which while we're reading, we meet. Shout out to
the triage nurse in this hospital that's constantly like, let me understand this. You get drunk and you fall down and you want us to help you.
We're not
going to
keep treating you.
You're just going to get drunk and fall down again.
You're going to use drugs and you're going to be here again. Like, but she is actually like very tender with the old drunk man that they bring in that stinks. They're like, oh, we need soup. Like, it's weird. So then, after they bring Noel back in, they meet the dad again, is like coding for like the last time. He mentally basically tells Frank to like let him die. So they take out his breathing apparatus. And he goes into cardiac arrest.
Nicolas Cage puts the pulse monitor on himself. Right. I guess they didn't have video cameras then. And, go ahead.
At what point do we revisit? It ultimately cuts to the point where he tells Patricia Arquette her father died, and then he makes peace with the ghost of Mary.
But at this some is point immediately revisit, after this.
Well, at what point, where did I miss it? Where we relive the moment where she died, where he couldn't get the trach, he couldn't get the breathing tube. It's him and John Goodman on the call, and he couldn't get the breathing tube into her lungs.
This may have been when they were tubing the dad. Is it that early? But it's somewhere around there. I'm not sure. It's quite a bit earlier in the movie.
I thought it was like towards the middle, but it's like very tragic and it's very
scary. It's hard to tell because this movie moves in like such a clip and it's like 2 hours long and doesn't quite feel that way, but it's hard to pinpoint exactly what, because it, you know, I meant to talk about this in the review part, but I'll talk about it. Fuck it. This movie never stops moving. No, if we're sharks, if we stop moving, we'll die. And it's just like, it never stops.
No. And that tension you get from that, is palpable. Like you get that. Like you are on the movie. You are on edge. Or at least I was. It puts you on edge for the duration. But in the end, it's like he finds peace. And he finds peace with Patricia Arquette's character, and he's made peace with, Rose's ghost.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's kind of the film. Like, it's just, it's nuts.
And these guys are making like $14 an hour or whatever EMTs made in 1990, whatever the fuck this movie came out, 8, 9.
Yeah. But it is wild. I was trying to figure out if the three different, if his three different partners are supposed to represent the ego and the super ego, because whenever there's three people, I'm like, is that what we're doing here?
I'm not sure. Think, Paul Schrader wrote the screenplay and it's based on like a semi-autobiographical novel, so I'm not sure how it's kind of organized.
I mean, because it's like, you know, instinct, reality, and morality are those three things.
But I mean, John Goodman's like not, I guess he would be the ego.
He would like, be reality. There.
Yeah.
Yeah. And instincts would be Sizemore. And morality would be Ving
Rhames.
But what does that do for anything? Alec, thoughts?
Was your favorite part of the movie the internal torture of the ambulance driver?
No.
Okay.
My favorite part was Omar for 2 minutes.
No. Doesn't look good for the rest of the movie.
I miss Omar.
How did you feel? I mean, we'll get into it in the reviews, but just out of curiosity, how did you feel about the movie? Had you seen this before? I had not seen this before.
I don't think I saw it before. I thought I did when you mentioned the title, but upon watching it, I don't think I've seen it. I may have seen something with a similar title. I can see why you guys like this movie, but it was not for me. Not my cup of tea. It was too frenetic at points. It was too, I don't know. It's hard to describe. Like some of the scenes of them, the way he shot some of the scenes of them in the ambulance was like how you would shoot a crazy like high school party scene in another movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is probably chaotic. Like what he's going for. But for me, I did not love it.
Well, the journey to Alex's subconscious continues. We'll figure it out one day.
Well, let me know when you do. Like the performances are all good. I liked all the performances. Like everybody's doing something. It's not boring.
No, it's not that. It's
definitely not boring. And maybe want some beef lo mein.
Fuck yeah, beef lo mein right out of the carton. Yeah, every time.
Any lo mein, I like a combination lo mein.
You know what? I don't like a shrimp lo mein. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a shrimp guy.
I like those weird little shrimps, and I like whatever that pork is that's got that strip of red in it.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I don't like water chestnuts, so miss me with that.
Yeah, they're strange. They're an odd little vegetable, maybe? Man, I don't know.
Yeah.
Gogs, what's a water chestnut?
I thought it was the same thing as watercress. I was about to ask the group. I have no idea.
I thought that was a sandwich.
It's the little, it's a little crunchy discs, right? Like the water chestnuts. Yeah. What's a watercress?
Watercress is a herb. Like it's kind of like arugula.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. Yeah, it's not even watercress.
I thought it was a whole sandwich. So like, don't feel bad.
I mean, I feel bad all the time, but not because of this.
Anything else we want to talk about before we get to the five knuckle show? I'm trying to do TJ's part since he's not here.
Yeah. Okay. No, let's just get into it. I think you know what, Alec, you can already shared your thoughts. Why don't you just round it out with a score?
I'm going to give it a, sorry guys, I'm going to give it a 4. I did not love this movie. I can see why certain people in our podcast would like it, but it's just not up my alley, not my
certain Hispanic people.
Well, God, I'm feeling a like from Gogs too.
Gogs is vaguely Hispanic.
I'm sure that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Quarter Hispanic, not too shabby.
Yeah.
I'm sure TJ likes it.
Yeah.
I was gonna come in harder and start going off on a Martin Scorsese's a hack rant, but it's not that bad. Although I still hate him for his comments disparaging Marvel. Although
hello?
Wait, we lost you for a second there.
Oh, okay. You there?
Who'd you lose? Me?
Alec?
Oh.
You, you said his comments disparaging Marvel, but I think you were going to say his their recent output has
I was going to say
kind of borne that out.
They were prophetic, but at the time, they were. I don't think they were accurate. Marvel movies are not meant to be art. They're meant to make $2 billion and have a lot of explosions.
They're art sometimes. That did make me think of, because I'm watching fucking, Shrinking. And then I'm watching the football games, and they keep showing the trailer for Captain America to Harrison Ford. And I'm like, why are you in this? I know you don't want to be in this fucking movie. Like, everybody could tell.
Yeah, absolutely. Even like his press for it, he's just like, it was a big paycheck.
Yeah.
You're not Steve Rogers. I don't care. I don't know. It's hard times. Who's Steve Rogers? That's a good thing about my voice like this. I can do a Harrison Ford.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Sean.
This is the best Martin Scorsese movie still to me. I mean, I don't care. I'll argue with anybody. It's so far out of his like normal bag that I find this movie like enchanting. Like it's so like, this is not a movie. What do they call those Netflix things? Like the fucking, where you can watch it and be on your phone. Like they're trying to specifically make content, like second screen content or whatever. Like you cannot not watch this movie.
Yeah.
Or just stop. Just don't even bother with it, because you're not going to be able to do both. Like it's impossible. And like, that's hard to find. And, I get it, how chaotic and fucking frenetic, and the camera's all over the place, and they're playing The Clash loud as shit. And like, they're doing like stop starts and speed ramps and like fucking ghosts. And like, the shit is out of control. But like, I love a big swing, and this is like, he could never do this again in a billion years. And I'm not saying Martin Scorsese is a bad filmmaker, although The Irishman is a bad movie. I'll stand by that too. But I don't know what it was that made this movie so fucking good. Maybe he's trying to recreate like his old career, like his Taxi Drivers and his Mean Streets, without understanding who he was at the time. I don't know. Like, I don't know what alchemy went into this movie, but I think this movie's fucking brilliant. And I love it. and like I could never get tired of watching it. This is a 10 for me. I fucking love this movie very much. Gogs.
I'm gonna give it a 9. This is nuts. It's unlike anything I've ever seen from Martin Scorsese. I'm echoing Sean saying I don't. Watching it, I genuinely had no idea he had this in him. The soundtrack's a banger. Performances, I really like the performances. They are all over the board. I mean that in a good way. Like, it is... Honestly, Nick Cage might be the most hinged of the cast. Maybe John Goodman. Yeah. But, like, everyone else is like...
John Goodman just wants his Chinese food, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
John Goodman, though, he's almost kind of like... in like those Vietnam movies where the one guy's just completely checked out. Like he just wants to, I know a friend of the show, Beef Weasel, Matt McCormick made a post recently about Roach from Apocalypse Now. Like he's just kind of just like, it's unfazed by it at this point. Like he's just, it is what it is. I don't know if that's kind of like John Goodman's vibe, but he's just not,
yeah.
There's no emotional connection there anymore for him.
John Goodman's not working fucking 16 hours a day. John Goodman's doing the 8 or whatever it is you have to do, and he's going home. That right. is it.
It's, I don't know. The shot's weird. Some of the speed ramps and crazy shit, like we're saying, is like stuff I just don't expect. Like when I thought Martin Scorsese, I think of like quick cuts. Like I think of like when they're like the scene in Goodfellas, where they're talking about, you know, I got to go get the Pittsburgh stuff from what's her name, yeah. And then I got to get home and stir the sauce. And meanwhile, and it's cutting back and forth, and a helicopter, and there's tension being built up by all this stuff. But it's not inverted cameras, Dutch angles, and speed ramp. It's like it's explaining how a heist goes down, or whatever the case may be.
Like, you know, we all love Goodfellas, right? But Goodfellas feels like it's like 3 hours long. Like it doesn't, you know, not saying that it's bad, it's not engrossing, but it doesn't feel like it moves by very quick, you know? And I know they're covering a lot longer period of time. Like, but yeah.
This movie's just going. I really enjoyed it. I think it's a really good Nick Cage performance. I think it's a really interesting Martin Scorsese movie. And it's probably, I was looking this up, it might be his worst film financially. Like, I don't know how, like
$14 million or something.
Like, it made 16.8 on a budget of 32. Like, I don't know how
the fact that he made this for $32 million is an achievement, by the way, right. For like all these people that are in it. So yeah, shout out.
But it's, you know, I would watch again, would recommend. So there you have it. So to continue the snake draft or whatever this thing is, we've watched, in my opinion, 2 good movies in a row. So we got to bring that to heel. I have picked, using Cliff Curtis, shout out. I have picked a movie I've never seen. Also from 1999, like Bringing Out the Dead. It is Virus. And Here's the quick synopsis from Google. Caught in a typhoon, a tugboat commanded by Donald Sutherland comes across a near-deserted ship. Excited to find a vessel that could be sold for as much as $30 million, the crew board it despite the warnings from the sole survivor. When a malevolent alien presence begins killing off the crew, navigator Kit Foster, played by my hall pass, Jamie Lee Curtis, tries to convince the rest of them to leave before it's too late. So, 1999's Virus. I'm sure TJ will have to find it somewhere. It can't be, I'm sure it's not anywhere. It's going to be a movie we're going to watch. And there we have it.
Can't wait.
Yeah, but we can, you know, we can spring different directions. We got Jamie Lee Curtis, we got Donald Sutherland, and Billy Baldwin are all options to keep this branches a branching. So until next time, dear viewer, you know, make your Roman salutes, I guess, and try not to be a piece of shit for the next little bit of time. Eat your own ass.
All right.
Bye, boys. Good night.